Hello, everyone, and welcome to Searching the Scriptures. I'm Rollin McFarland, one of the ministers of the Pine Top Church of Christ. I encourage you to open your Bible and to search the Scripture with me to see whether or not the things we teach are true. Acts chapter 17, verse 11, commends the Jews of Berea for searching the Scriptures to see whether or not the things taught by the Apostle Paul were true. That should be our attitude also. If you have questions or comments regarding anything that we teach, we would like the opportunity to study the Bible with you. Check out our website at www.pinetopcoc.org and email us at pinetopchurchofchrist@gmail.com or like us on Facebook. Our desire and intent is to speak where the Bible speaks and to be silent where the Bible is silent, that we may indeed speak as the oracles of God. If you're in the Lake Cumberland area of Kentucky, we invite you to the services of the Pine Top Church of Christ, 1102 Pine Top Road, Russell Springs, Kentucky, in the Windsor community of Russell County. We have Bible class beginning at 9 a.m. Central Time, followed by our worship service at 9:45, and then meet again at 4:30 Sunday evening. Have you played Simon Says? It's a popular game for kids as the rules are very simple. If Simon says, you have to do whatever is said. If Simon doesn't say, Simon says, and you do the thing said, or don't do the thing said when Simon says it, you're out. The game continues until only one person is left. See? Simple. Now, despite what some may say about the Bible and God's will, it's not complicated. It's plain and simple. I wanted to focus on these principles from a very simple game to help us understand that God's will works in a similar manner. When God says it, we must obey it. If God doesn't give us the authority, then we better not act on our own. I want to begin by talking about sacrificial animals. Animals will be sacrificed on an altar to God as an atonement for sin. Now, hopefully you didn't just do this or you'd be out of the game. As a Christian, there is no longer any need for such sacrifices, as our Savior provided full atonement for sins. In Hebrews 9, verse 12, it says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." We see plainly here that the shedding of Christ's blood provides redemption for us all. Continue in verse 13 and 14. "For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Now, I know many of you are rolling your eyes thinking, duh, of course we don't offer animal sacrifices. However, I want you to notice that there isn't a place in the Bible that says, "Thou shalt not offer animal sacrifices any longer." The Bible does point out the fact that the old law was obsolete with the covenant of Christ. In Galatians 5, verse 3 and 4, it says, "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace." Specifically, it brings up the point of circumcision. But it mentions that to go back to the old law in one place makes us a debtor to it all. And furthermore, that Christ is no effect any longer. I say this because we see something mentioned in the Old Testament, not specifically mentioned as being abolished in the New Testament. But we don't question that it should not be done any longer. Why then, when it comes to our worship of God through song, do we add instrumental music? Many people will use Psalms 150 that says, "Praise ye the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everyone that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. If we use this for our authority, could I offer you an unblemished lamb to offer up in worship to God as well? The New Testament says nothing about instrumental music. Now, singing is mentioned multiple times, but there's no accompaniments. In Ephesians 5, verse 19, it says, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart. James chapter 5, verse 13 says, is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. And about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Now, these are multiple places, and there's even more that mention singing, but not a single instrument is named as being part of this. Now, many people will try the excuse saying, it's not said that we can't use instruments in our worship, which brings me back to the animal sacrifices. That wasn't mentioned specifically either. But we can't pick and choose these things. When God leaves something out, it's obvious there was a change in how he wanted us to offer up praise to him through song. The God who is so specific about so many parts of worship wouldn't just leave something out like he forgot or something. Now, another, Simon says, that many people refuse to obey is found in Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. It says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. We are told by God to not forsake assembling together. Yet how many people only gather with Christians to worship the Lord once or twice a year? I mean, I'm glad people will come anytime, but Christians, let's examine ourselves. The problem here is that many assume we're secure in salvation no matter what. However, the Bible gives repeated warnings about falling away from Christ. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, it says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. When we assume we don't need to be with others in the presence of God, we're edging closer and closer to Satan's grasp. Paul wrote this letter to the church at Corinth, by the way. It was written to brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul also says in the previous chapter, verse 27, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Paul gives a sobering reminder to those who thought they were doing just fine. He had to work to discipline himself. We must do the same. And when we assemble, we're exercising our faith to be a stronger Christian. Finally, and the most egregious of them all, is the way into salvation. So many people ignore God's word and cherry-pick the verses they want to justify their emotions concerning salvation. Did you know that salvation is something that must be obeyed? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, it says, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, it shows us that salvation is not something that we earn through merit, like earning a wage, but it is something we must act upon and obey. The fault lay in the fact that people choose certain passages that pertain to salvation, but not all of them. People love to hold up Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But they ignore the command just a few chapters earlier in Romans 6, verse 3. It says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" Now this verse is a clarification to the previous verse saying, "How shall we that were dead to sin live any longer therein?" They were dead to sin because they had been baptized into the death of Christ. You see, we need to obey all commands to obtain salvation. People, when you uphold Romans 10 above all others, does that mean you don't believe repentance is necessary? It's not stated in Romans 10 at all. Do you see the traps that we set for ourselves when we don't simply follow precisely what God says? The sinner's prayer doesn't exist in the Bible. Not one person prayed in the Bible to receive salvation. Calling on the name of the Lord, this is mentioned in Acts 2:21. But then Peter goes on to explain how to call on the name of the Lord. In verse 38, Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Here, they called on the authority of Christ by repenting of their sins and obeying the gospel through baptism into Christ, which is a confession. As I conclude this lesson, I hope it's plainly clear that when it comes to our salvation, we want to be certain that God has instructed us on how we are saved and how to live faithfully to Him. We don't want to do anything different than what He has said, and we certainly don't want to ignore His will either. In Romans 2, verse 10, it ends like this: "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." From the moment we obey the gospel, we must do what God says then and throughout our life. That's remaining faithful, and that will ensure us that crown of life. Let's search the scripture daily. Study the context, consider all the inspired writer said, and rightly divide the word of truth. In so doing, I think you'll come to the conclusion that there is a God, that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself to provide atonement for our sins, that the Bible is His holy word, and that we will face this God on the day of judgment. Jesus said in in John chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Then in verse 21, He said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." But then in verse 24, Jesus said, "He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." We show our love for Jesus not by saying how much we love him, but by obeying what he has commanded. His commands are the commands of the Father. Therefore, we need to know what his commandments are so that we can keep them and thus be ready to stand before him to give an account of our life. Again, if you have questions or comments, please email us at pinetopchurchofchrist@gmail.com. Thank you for being a part of this study. Until our next time together, have a blessed week.